And welcome to another worldwide broadcast of the Ted Brower Show with your hosts Ted and Austin Brower, bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is Ted Brower, and I am so glad that you are with us today. So how are you doing today?
Doing good, bud. It's a great day. Got a lot of information to put out. I saw the tragedy over there in Brussels.
I don't even know, with a one-hour talk show with no commercials, I don't know how in the world we could do it if we were doing 25 or 30 minutes worth of commercials every hour. I mean, we couldn't do it. We'd have to have 2 hours and take everybody's time up because it's just so much stuff happening every single day so quickly now that we're hearing all this. But I wanted to share with you guys a couple more verses today on the Bible, and I try to do this the best I possibly can. I told you that yesterday. It may not be every day, but I'll try to do it as often as I possibly can. I just got off a long phone call with Doug Hagman, who went to the conference this weekend, and it was interesting. I don't feel comfortable talking about some of the stuff he told me. You can ask Doug, or he can talk about it on the show. But overall, from a spiritual standpoint, the conference went extremely well, and so I'm really pleased with that. And a lot of people got baptized, and a lot of people, rededicated their lives to Christ. And a lot of people came up and asked about me. Now, guys, he told me just dozens and dozens of people coming up. Remember, there was only about 800 people at the conference, so that's like or 900 or something, 8 something. So that's like 30 people, 30 rows wide by 30 rows deep. It's just not that big of a conference. And for you guys to literally be coming out, 5-10% of the people coming up and Doug and talking about me and saying, thank you for Ted Brower, thank you for Ted Brower, thank you for Ted Brower. I want you to thank you guys. If you go to the conference and you were there and you came up to Doug, thank you. It means the world to me to know that people care about my opinions, and they care about me and my family, and they care about my, with Austin and my wife. I mean, he said one lady came up and she said that I've literally changed her life, changed her health, and he said she was in tears crying because she was so happy that I'd, been on the Hagman show and that we had changed lives the way we had changed lives on that show. So thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. I love you guys a lot. And I'm doing this because God called me out of this 4.5 years ago, it'll be 5 years this summer, out of retirement, to get out and get my butt working again and doing stuff. And that's why I'm doing it, because I'm 60 years old. I'm supposed to be spooling down instead of spooling up. So I guess I got all kind of got backwards, Austin. But here's the verse of the day. Well, that's actually a couple of verses out of Proverbs 26. I could do a whole week on this. Proverbs 26, verse 16. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than 7 men who answer discreetly. Like one who seizes a dog by the ears is a passerby who meddles in a quarrel not his own. Like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Without wood, a fire goes out quickly. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers, as is wood to fire, is so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down into a man's inmost parts. Guys, I read a whole chapter basically out of John. Well, not a chapter, but a bunch of verses on Sunday night about unity of the believer. Please, please, please. We are coming in. We are in the end times. There's no coming into the end times anymore. This is it. And we have to stay supportive of one another. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for contributing to Health Masters. Thank you for buying our supplements. Thank you. Austin, start with your first story, buddy.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, Vermont's GMO labeling law, we've talked about a few times on here, is looking to be like Vermont may have inadvertently delivered GMO labeling to at least a large portion of the country now. General Mills, who is completely based, one of their main ones in Vermont, they've announced now that they will have to label all of their products if they contain any genetically modified ingredients, due to the new law that Vermont passed. Because what's interesting about this is the head of General Mills, Jeff Harmley, he went on and said, we can't label our products for only one state without significantly driving up costs. We simply won't do that. He said the results, consumers all over the country now will soon begin seeing words legislated by the state of Vermont on the labels of many of your favorite General Mills food products. This is interesting because General Mills, as you guys must know, is they're a very, very strong GMO proponent. They love their GMO food. They've donated over $1.2 million to California's proposition like $900,000 to Washington's proposition. This is all to stop GMO labeling, to allow them to work under the cloak of darkness and put stuff in our food without telling us. They gave another $700,000 to Oregon's initiative. They gave another $820,000 to Colorado's Proposition 105. So these guys have been strong supporters of GMO food. So it's interesting now they're having to come out and reverse this because of Vermont's law and start labeling it, which, as we said before, it's not that difficult to do. It's not that difficult to change the lettering, the wording, some of the graphics on a package. It's actually quite easy. The difference is that now these guys know they cannot operate like this under darkness. They're going to have to come out and see the light, and people are actually going to be shocked now on how much of this food contains GMO ingredients. And what's cool is Vermont isn't the only state with the GMO labeling initiative. I just rattled off a few. But it's, you know, it's the first state in the nation to officially pass one. So it's pretty cool that the DARK Act got denied by the Senate, and Vermont's bill will go into effect this year, July 1st, 2016, and General Mills will be following along that. And it looks like there's going to be a couple other companies that are going to be following suit for legality reasons, because most of these companies are not going to be able to just shut down shop and move in the next 6 months. They may try and find ways around it, but on the other hand, too, is it going to be cost-effective? So I think we're getting some traction here, guys. We're actually starting to see the revolution of GMO foods and labeling of GMO foods and actually what's going to be in our food. So I'm pretty excited about this.
Well, you know what it is. It's the money. The manufacturers are always going to follow the money. And what's happened is they finally realized that there's a huge market niche now. Probably 40% of the consumers want non-GMO foods. The other 60%, they don't care. They're going to eat the filth that they can buy anywhere they can. The cheapest they're going to get it. So, I mean, they don't care. They're not listening to the show right now. I mean, we're talking about the top tier of people who are actually concerned about their health. And they realize there's a huge marketing advantage to be done because they saw what happened with Chipotle's. I mean, it took a full-blown effort by a group of people who we don't know who they were to try to put Chipotle out of business by saying that their foods were contaminated with E. coli. And the sad part about this is when they saw the marketing effort being done by Chipotle, they couldn't control Chipotle, so they decided to destroy Chipotle. But these guys are always like this. But remember, if General Mills comes in now, they start putting GMO foods and they start lying on the labels, they're going to be sued. They've already seen what happened to Chipotle because they were selling sodas there with GMO corn syrup. So they're going to make sure they're going to label these things right. So Europe has already put a big stop on this GMO stuff. They don't want it in their countries. And I really am excited that the glyphosate should be the next one out, Austin. I don't believe that glyphosate can make it through all of this. I know on Thursday night, Friday morning, I'll be on Coast to Coast from 1 until 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you guys are listening to it on the West Coast, it'll be from 11 until from 10 until 12, which is pretty easy to show to listen to. It'll be live Coast to Coast with George Norrie. We'll be taking phone calls, too, if you guys want to call in. And, you know, so I love hearing from you guys. And the reason we don't do the phone calls here, the first time we tried the phone calls, we got so slammed with so many phone calls that we couldn't even cover the news. So we'll probably try to do some more phone calls here in a couple of weeks or a couple of months when we get to a point where we can do all of that. The problem is there's so much news every day that's happening, it's difficult to do the phone calls. Like when I was on with Joyce, you know, we had 3 hours. The first hour was just news. The second hour was, you know, basically a guest with phone calls, and the third hour was a guest with phone calls. And that was a very good format. It's 3 hours a day. And quite frankly, it would be very difficult for me or Austin to do a 15-hour week show. I mean, it would be very, very difficult 5 days a week, 3 hours a day. I mean, I guess we could do it if we wanted to, Austin, but it'd be very, very time-consuming to do that. So I don't want to do that. Now, I'm not saying the show won't eventually grow that big, but then it'll be difficult for Austin to be in the office answering phone calls like he does, because I'm so busy already, I can't do that. And so I kind of like it with a one-hour talk show, and then, you know, of course, on Sunday nights, I kind of like that because it keeps our schedule so it's manageable. So you guys just bear with us as we try to figure out what you guys want us to do. Plus, I do want to go ahead and go on TV with this, with YouTube videos every day like the Hagmans are doing. I think that's a big step we need to go ahead and do probably by the end of this year. But here's an interesting another article. It says a shortage of minerals in our diets is linked to osteoporosis, bone and joint degeneration, and most degenerative diseases. Now, let me share with you why that's happening. the soil's not being rotated properly. In fact, it's not being rotated at all. The minerals that are in our bodies and the vitamins that are in our bodies, the nutrients simply aren't in these foods any longer because they've not been given these nutrients from the soil because the soil is so depleted because the active enzymes in the soil and bacteria in the soil and the organisms in the soil, they can't live right because of all the spray and because of all the glyphosate. So what they do, they put four or five trace minerals back into the soil and they give us a crop that'll grow, but it's devoid of trace minerals and nutrients, particularly magnesium and zinc. And so what ends up happening is we get into a situation where we start developing deficiencies in zinc, which affects the prostate, and magnesium, which affects calcium uptake, which causes a lot of problems with osteoporosis and joint issues. That's why the magnesium chloride foot bath is critical. It's absolutely essential that you use that every single day. Every day, I've got my feet soaking for 30 minutes or whatever I do. You know, sometimes a little bit longer. It depends how long I take time on the news stories for the day. And I use a foot bath I got off Amazon for like $100, $89. And it keeps the water at a constant temperature. And I change out the water every 4 or 5 days. And I just constantly am soaking my feet in magnesium chloride. And what that does, that allows me to uptake this magnesium transdermally. Remember, you take a clove of garlic and rub it on the bottom of your foot, and you'll taste it in your mouth in half an hour. Just you take a clove of garlic, cut it in half, rub it on the bottom of your foot, and you'll just forget about it. You'll taste it in your mouth. Our skin is a semi-permeable membrane that allows transfers of certain types of compounds and nutrients. Sometimes some things are blocked. Most things go through. That's why the use of pesticides, et cetera, and getting them on your hands and your skin or your face or your feet is dangerous. That's why glyphosate should never be sprayed on the yard when children are around because it'll absorb right through their skin. So there are some things you just need to avoid, a lot of the chemicals and pesticides particularly. But remember, the magnesium is absolutely critical, and you have to be taking supplements, because if you're not taking supplements, you're simply not getting the nutrients from the food anymore because the nutrients were never put into the soil. And this is what happens. You know, your body starts to fall apart. The first warning signs, you start getting cavities, or you start growing poor fingernails, or you start having lines in your fingernails, or you start having weak hair, your hair starts falling out, or you may hear the term soft bones from your dentist as some kind of genetic weakness that you inherited from your parents. However, some people take excellent care of their dental health and still run into a series of issues with cavities, soft teeth, and tooth decay. You know, poor posture, muscle loss, weak joints, frequent injuries, sagging facial skin, weak and damaged hair, poor growing of nails again, elevated blood sugar, cardiovascular problems, all of these, low testosterone, can be directly related to mineral depletion in the body. That's why magnesium and zinc are so important, and manganese is very important for the reproductive functions, and that's what you need to do with the seed fruits. All the seed fruits contain large amounts of manganese. One of the things they do with watermelons when they start doing the hybrid watermelons, the seedless watermelons, is they block the transference of magnesium from the soil into the fruit. And without magnesium, they can't produce seeds. So ladies, if you're having problems with infertility, start taking a good manganese supplement. That's very, very important. I said magnesium, it's manganese. Start taking a really good magnesium supplement. Also, one of the primary causes of low back pain is mineral deficiency, but primarily the magnesium. So you have to, magnesium is essential to maintain calcium in your system. Magnesium is like the gasoline you put in your tank. Your body uses it at over 300 biochemical functions on a daily basis. The calcium is like the water in the radiator. The body constantly cycles it over and over and over again. So you need much more magnesium than you do calcium. Extra calcium is going to cause bone spurs. It's going to cause atherosclerotic plaquing and hardening of the arteries. That's why you should never drink mineralized water that contains, inorganic, calcium. Basically what it is dissolved rock or tiny, tiny particulates of rock that you ingest into your body. That's why distilled water is simply the best. But the biggest problem with all of these conditions is the minerals. The manganese, the magnesium, and the zinc are three critical minerals that your body needs to be getting on an ongoing basis. That's why all of our minerals and our multiple vitamins are wrapped, chelated with a protein complex so your body can use them, utilize them, incorporate them into the cells as if they were real food. So that's the way you have to look at vitamins. Vitamins are super important, but if they're not made and manufactured properly, you'd be better off just actually not to take them because some of them are pretty doggone toxic. Don't you think, Oz?
Yeah, you are. I mean, I remember a lot of them, they have talc in them. They'll have shellac in them, like
right.
Shellac, like the actual stuff that women put on their fingernails. I've read some crazy stuff, Red 40, propylene glycinate, You name it. I mean, some of these, especially, you know, at a lot of the real cheap retailers where I've gone to, like, you know, the bulk places like Sam's and stuff like that where they just sell real cheap vitamins, I've seen just off-the-wall ingredients in some of this stuff. So, yeah, it's very important. If you're going to spend your money on it, if you're actually going to utilize supplements efficiently and correctly and you want to be in good health, go with some really good quality stuff. That's what we put together years ago, guys. That's what we use here. You know, I mean, if you want to try something, give us a call. We'll explain it to you. You can go on the website. You can also read about it, the ingredient list as well. We try and use the top quality raws possible, so we provide the highest quality nutrients pretty much in the world. New information now, this last week it came out, and I saw it, and I wanted to do a little bit more research on it. Dad and I have discussed it in detail as far as the heroin and opiate epidemic that we're seeing in the United States, and with the massive amount of heroin that's coming into the United States, but also, too, that it seems to be the sales of heroin are starting to decrease. And this is interesting now. The Center of Disease Control has now issued new guidelines to doctors for prescribing habit-forming opiate-based painkillers like OxyContin or Percocet. The guidelines are meant to curb the overprescribing of opiates, long considered an epidemic by official standards. And this is what the CDC guidelines put out now. Don't use opiates first. Try other methods such as Tylenol or ibuprofen. Talk to your patient about what they can expect. 100% pain-free may not be realistic or desirable. Make sure the patient knows the risk. Never start with long-acting opiates and use the lowest dose possible. Now, those are all positive guidelines, especially the last one. I do agree with that one, is that that was one of the issues that I felt was contributing to the opiate epidemic very severely in the last 15, 20 years, was that literally people were getting these, you know, 20, 30, 40 milligram controlled release OxyContins for stupid stuff. Like, I got a back pain or I pulled a muscle in my hamstring, and these doctors were shelling these things out like candy. And in my opinion, the loose regulation of these Schedule II controlled substances like OxyContin were intentionally to open up the market for the opium trade as far as with heroin coming into the United States. So I find it interesting that they're just now starting to make new guidelines when we've seen severe issues with opiate abuse in the last 10, 20 years. Now they're just starting to do it, where these are basic guidelines that it should have been followed from the beginning, from the knowledge that we already knew about how addictive opiates were.
No, you're exactly right. And the sad part about it is that, you know, all of these drugs have all of these horrible, horrible, you know, stuff that's happening. I mean, it's just unreal. And you know, like, for instance, just a couple of days ago, or actually a couple of weeks ago, we had one of the top psychiatrists in the country. Her name is Dr. Kelly Brogan, and she's a natural psychologist and psychiatrist. I mean, she's a medical doctor and a psychiatrist, which takes about like an extra 6 years of schooling. And she finally learned that there were natural ways to treat depression without the use of drugs and Xanax and Ritalin and everything else. And she found out now that she's been blacklisted. She wrote this new book that should have been a bestseller, got a big advance for it. They can't get her booked on any shows, Austin. Can't get her booked on any shows. The shows won't pick her up. See, this is the same thing they did to me. I remember years ago I was on with a fella up in Cincinnati, and we did a whole show one time on the top 10 foods never to eat. I'll tell you his name. It's John Jay. Great guy. Good friend of mine. And, you know, that he left Cincinnati, and he had the top talk show in Cincinnati. Then he went to Houston with a real big talk show in Houston. And I was on a show in Houston. He heard me speak at a seminar, I believe up in Cincinnati. And then he left Houston and he ended up going to Tucson. And then, you know, we were doing shows with him in Tucson. In fact, one day we were doing a show with him in Tucson and they had a casket in the studio full of snakes. Austin, you remember that? And, you know, it was kind of, because they always do these skits all the time. Then finally he went and did now his show's in Phoenix. And back in 2008, we were on a show, this is almost nine years ago, and what ended up happening is we had a huge response, and dude, he was basically told he didn't come back on again. So now he can only bring mainstream people into his studios that believe in immunizations, that promote the whole mainstream narrative. And for Kelly Brogan not to be able to have not to get on the circuit as far as on the TV shows, I already knew that was going to happen. There's no way. They don't put all, even on the Christian TV stations and shows, they've been told, somebody's told them somewhere or threatened them somewhere not to put as many as the health folks on as they used to. Because back in the you know, a decade ago, they were putting a lot of health people on. I was doing a lot of shows with Rod Parsley and with Paula White and a lot of other people that you guys would know that you may or may not like. And what ended up happening is suddenly it just all, it was like within a 6 month period, it just stopped about 10, 12 years ago. It just stopped. And I mean, it was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And we were selling huge amounts of books for these guys, helping them with their fundraising, and it just stopped. And what happened is this. I really believe that somewhere, somehow, somebody told someone that we don't want these alternative guys on here because they're not promoting the mainstream agenda. That's what I think happened. Or there's a liability issue associated with telling people to eat healthy. Okay. But yeah. Something happened. I mean, but you know, so something actually happened that we were told not to do this anymore. So it's an interesting thing. That's one of the reasons that I felt it was necessary to start our own talk show. Because that way I can say whatever I want to say. But of course, this is not mainstream. Again, this is basically blog talk. This is, you know, Global Star Satellite. This is iTunes. And see, they don't care if you reach a target market that you've developed, the people who know you. They don't care because you don't show up on the mainstream radar. But you try to get on Good Morning America and you start talking about this stuff. I remember I had a friend of mine years ago, and he was kind of a scoundrel in this way. He actually took my top 10 list and copied it. And then decided to go around the country after his book was released and start doing my top 10 list of foods never to eat and pretend like it was his list. And he said, well, I can't believe he's a friend of yours. Well, at least he's telling the people the truth. But he got busted for it because what happened, Austin, you don't even know this. He was in New York City and he did a whole show on like, it was an NBC out of Los Angeles or out of New York or something. They made him come back and do a retraction at the studio under threat of lawsuits because he talked about aspartame.
Wow.
He had to come back in and do a retraction. And I told him, I said, well, you didn't do it, did you? He goes, well, yeah, they made me. And I said, they can't make you. I said, all you did was give them the facts. I said, the problem is you don't know the information like I know the information. And so now you're going and giving a retraction on aspartame. Aspartame causes brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degradation. You know, it causes all these horrible, horrible side effects. And, you know, I know all that. I've got all the research behind it. But they didn't want you telling 8 million people in New York about it. That's the problem. In fact, I know I was on with Scott Hannon on WPLJ multiple times back in the 90s, and all of a sudden, boom, not back on with him either. See, they don't want a credible person out there talking about this stuff and giving people natural alternatives to the use of drugs. And that's what Kelly Brogan was going to do in her new book, as far as what she can do from a psychiatric standpoint, which includes, of course, the 5-hydroxyl-tryptophan, the omega-3 fats, all of this stuff, which has been shown to be much more effective to mild to moderate forms of depression than these horrible, horrible drugs like the serotonin reuptake inhibitors and the tricyclic antidepressants. I mean, you've got to really stay away from that stuff, guys. Those are last resort drugs because those things are super, super addictive. And then if you want to throw the other one, throw the Xanax on top of all of that, the benzodiazepines. I mean, those are some bad drugs, Austin. They're bad drugs. Bad.
Yeah, and then you try and stop smoking, so they put you on Chantix too while you're on the other one. So one thing I did want to add, you brought up one of the reasons, and this is just my opinion. And when you see a lot of these, because you're right, a lot of the Christian networks, the Christian shows, the pastors, you were on a lot of those shows back in the day, and there were a lot of other health individuals that were too. And I see that very rarely now, and my personal opinion. As I remember, almost all these guys are 501c3 corporations, which means they take on that leash on their neck from the federal government that mm-hmm. they basically cannot say or do anything they want to do anymore without having that leash yoked back on them with basically threat of taking that. And that's what I think happened with a lot of them. I think a lot of them said, you can't interface this in your message. You can talk about whatever you want. Can't talk about health stuff, or else there may be an audit or there may be an issue with your 501c3 status. So just... you guys take it as it is, and because you're right. I mean, it was so abrupt and so quick, and it just kind of faded out, and that was it.
I remember I was on a big show out of Dallas, big network, and we did a fundraising thing for them with our Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program, and sold a lot of Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy programs, and they got a big chunk of that, and then they got in trouble with the FCC. So I think you're right, Austin. They got in trouble with the FCC because they said they were running a for-profit infomercial on their show, and that they were a 501(c) corporation, and they could not do that. And so they got caught up in the guidelines of all that nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
And they never had me back on either. And I was on twice, and that was it. And then they aired a rerun one time. And I thought to myself, well, this is kind of crazy. But then again, you look at a lot of these people, and the husband's having affairs on the wife's having affairs on the husband's. People are staying drunk. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm telling you this, guys. I know a lot about this inside, behind the circle with the Christianity and the Christian TV. Do yourself a favor. And I've told you this a dozen times. I'm going to tell you this again. Give the money to your local church where your kids go to church. I mean, if you give all this money to a TV evangelist and you don't go to church anymore, and your wife dies or your father dies or your mother dies or whatever, do you really think you're going to call Joel Osteen up and have him come bury somebody for you and do the funeral? It's just not going to happen. And I know Joel. He's a nice guy, okay? But I'm telling you, he doesn't need your money. I promise you that. Okay, give it to your local people. When his father died, he left Joel $100 million in the account. And then Joel took that entire compact arena down there, which I've spoken in and done seminars before. I've had that place packed out with, you know, Schwarzkopf and those guys, and turned it back around and turned it into a giant sanctuary. And I've been to church there. Joel hosted us there a few years ago because he had used our Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program and promoted the material out of that to put his own health series together, which is okay with me. I don't care. As long as he doesn't directly plagiarize me, I don't care. And they actually called us up and thanked us for that, which was nice, and then invited us to come out there and meet him and talk to him and everything else. He's a very nice person, by the way, when you meet him in person. But again, he's not going to bury your parents. He's not going to bury your wife or your husband. He's not going to do that. And don't get me wrong, he's got some great stuff in his books. The only thing, I told Joel this, and I like Joel, but I said, man, you need to be talking about Jesus, repentance. You need to be talking about Christ crucified more, about the blood of Christ. I said, you need to be making this so they get the positive message of the gospel. I'm good with that. But they need to get the message of repentance. And they need to realize that they can't continue to live like the heathen and expect God to bless them. Because remember, God is not a man that he should be mocked. A man is going to reap what he sows. I mean, if you come to my house, which you guys, you know, are invited, most of you, unless you're strange, you're welcome to come by or come by the office anyhow, and I'll meet you and see if you can come by the house. You're going to find everything that I tell you in my home. We don't eat pork. We don't eat shellfish. We don't eat trans fats. We eat super, super clean. And so we do what we say we're going to do. And see, that's the point. A lot of people out there, they do things because they – I'm not talking about Joel now. Joel's not like that. Joel was kind of dragged into it when his dad died and got sick. But what I'm saying, a lot of people get into the ministry because they find a way to make money doing it. And they find a way not to pay income tax. And the truth is this. If we didn't have the income tax and we were all like a 501(c) corporation without the government interference in our lives like it was before 1913, it would be so much easier to earn a profit and do things the right way in the United States instead of trying to always bend the rules like so many people try to avoid paying taxes. If we didn't have to pay the taxes on the income tax and we were doing tariffs like we were supposed to do to pay for this federal government, which was never supposed to be this giant behemoth that it turned into, we wouldn't even need an income tax. And quite frankly, we weren't having to borrow money from the Rothschild banking cartel, we wouldn't need an income tax because we wouldn't have a national debt. See, this is the thing that people don't understand. It all goes back to the stinking bankers back in 1913. They used Taft and Wilson and Roosevelt to split the election, to bring Wilson in to sign all this. It always goes back to the money every single time. Oh, by the way, Monsanto has suffered a horrible week of devastating effects as lawmakers back away from biotech influence and intimidation. Now that this DARK Act got nailed again, people are beginning to realize that they want to get the GMOs labeled. And the Senate is starting to ignore the push to ban GMO labeling. So this is absolutely wonderful this is happening, Austin. So these big Monsanto boys, if we can keep it going, guys, they're on their ways out. So what's your next story, Oz?
They are. They're definitely on their way out. And next one, I wanted to discuss this because I saw an article earlier. And these politically correct idiots, I like to call them now, bring up some of the most ridiculous things. And this is interesting now, what just got brought up. You know, we've talked about the old breastfeed versus bottle feed debate. And we always recommend the breastfeed if you can. And we have the goat's milk formula in our Train Up the Children the Way They Should Eat book, which is a really good formula if something happens, if you can't breastfeed. If you guys are wondering, I've had a lot of people ask this, Lana will be breastfeeding. She's going to try and do it for at least a year, as long as everything goes good. So it's definitely the best option to go with. But it's funny now, medical experts are taking up an issue with the word natural when it describes the behavior of breastfeeding, saying the word could make people leery of other health-related topics like GMO and vaccination. Get this. So we talk, because people always refer to, you know, breastfeeding as the natural approach to feeding your child when they're born. That is. That's the body's making its own milk for the child. It's very natural. It's completely natural.
You think?
What's crazy
it's
about
worked
this.
For thousands of years.
Yeah, it happens completely naturally. You don't have to do anything. You get pregnant and your body does everything itself. So it's funny now, they said that experts are implying that words like natural go against vaccines and GMOs, and they actually think calling breastfeeding natural will somehow interfere with the wonderful goodness that is getting a shot of mercury in your arm or eating GMO foods. They stayed on to here, promoting breastfeeding as natural may be ethically problematic. And even more troubling, it may bolster this belief that natural approaches are presumably healthier.
They
Wait,
are.
What? This is from Jessica Martucci and Ann Barnhill in the Journal of Pediatrics, two completely and totally blithering idiots. They go on to, with their rhetoric, and they say, this may ultimately change public health aim in other contexts, particularly childhood vaccination. Here we go now, guys. Here we go. All about the vaccinations again. This is the article they wrote. This is the name of their article. Unintended consequences of invoking the natural and breastfeeding promotion. They go on to say, we're concerned about breastfeeding promotion that praises breastfeeding as natural ways to feed infants. This message plays into a powerful perspective that natural approaches to health are better. Come on. I can't even believe that stuff like this gets published. I mean, the knowledge and research that has been done now as far as breastfeeding, not getting vaccinated, non-GMO foods, eating natural, clean, organic-grown foods, there is no question about it anymore. And the fact that this type of filth still gets published is just nauseating to me. It's funny, it was in pediatrics. So again, you see how they tie that in. We don't want to make people leery about vaccinations. And it goes again with the government propaganda trying to brainwash everybody into thinking it doesn't matter if you eat clean, it doesn't matter if you breastfeed, none of that matters. You just need to make sure you get your vaccinations. That's all that matters. Get your vaccinations and be good little slaves. It's ridiculous.
You know, I can feel it, Austin. I can feel the tsunami building. I can feel the wave. I can feel it in my spirit now. For a long time, you know, we thought there were storm clouds gathering on the horizon, and they were the globalists coming in to take away our everything. I don't think it's storm clouds from the globalists anymore. Those storm clouds are still glowing. Those storm clouds are still building on the horizon. But it's God Almighty. It's the judgment of God. It's the people that are beginning to be exposed. God's wrath is being poured out against these weirdos, and now He's showing us that He can tell that prayer will still change things. So the storm clouds are brewing. That's a fact. But I believe it's God Almighty. I believe that we're getting that tipping point, like the Rensselaer Polytechnic said, and that soon we'll have a complete and total turnaround of this country, and soon we'll expose these Rothschild banking lowlife for what they are, and we can go ahead and hopefully keep that book of Revelation closed for a few more generations, is what I hope, until we have more time to get more and more people saved. The truth of the matter is, guys, keep praying. They have no defense. The only way they can control this energy field on this planet is through their sacrifice and through their frequencies. If we pray, the scalar waves are so powerful, they will change the physical reality of time space and will restore our country, will restore what we once were. Maybe not to the point we can go back to where it was like Andy of Mayberry, because we've had too much filth pumped into us, or it may take another few generations to turn it backwards. But guys, listen to me. This Bruce Jenner filth is getting too much pushback now. Everybody has had enough of this stuff. That is one ugly woman. And the problem is that people don't want to believe that this is even going on, and they think this is okay. None of this is okay. Satan has overplayed his hand. He's pushed it too fast, and they're pushing back now. We're all pushing back. And these Muslims now are leaving the Islamic faith in Europe by the droves, and in the Middle East by the droves, because they're starting to doubt their own faith because they see what ISIS and these Islamic radicals are doing. And always remember, the United States has funded and has trained ISIS. Everybody needs to understand that. So when you hear that ISIS set off a bomb in Belgium, that's indirectly because of what we did and what we gave them and how we trained them. So we have these false flags, and I'm not saying this is a false flag, but we've had false flags going all over the place all of the time, so we don't know what's happening in Europe. All I know is if I was in Europe and I saw this happening right now, I'd be thinking just maybe we need to shut down the doggone train of immigrants that are coming into this country. It's absolutely ridiculous. Oh, by the way, Dirty Harry, do you feel lucky? Go ahead and make my day. Clint Eastwood supposedly is going to be endorsing Donald Trump this next week. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully he doesn't talk to a chair like he did with Romney last time. That did not go over real well. But hopefully make my day, Dirty Harry is going to do it. Of course, Clint's got to be old now. He's got to be in his 80s. And I'm sure he cannot believe what has happened to the United States of America because he's 20 years older than me. So he probably wants his country back too. Also, what do you think?
Well, yeah, he was born in the 30s. So, I mean,
yeah.
he's old school, man. He's always been old school. His movies are old school. His ideology, I mean, he likes that original, you know, just America. So I'm sure he's not very pleased with what's going on over there at all.
Well, he wasn't. He tried to get rid of Barack Obama 4 years ago, and you know, it was just. But you got to remember, Romney's an insider. He's a globalist, and he's out there supporting, you know, Cruz in Utah. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous what he's doing. And sadly, you know, the people in America, they don't understand. They don't understand. Oh, here's another article from the American College of Pediatricians. They're actually coming back and pushing back against transgenderism. And they're saying that gender ideology harms children. This is interesting. They're actually saying that a child doesn't have can't determine whether he's a boy or a girl. That's determined by the XY or XX genetic markup and makeout. And he says that no one is born with a gender. Everybody is born with a biological sex. Gender and awareness and sense of oneself as male or female is a sociological and psychological concept, not an objective biological one. And that they wrote a really good article on it. And the craziest thing about it is this one nutbag, another one of these weirdo, I'm trying to find her quote and I can't find it. So I'll try to find it in a second. But she's saying now that these guys are all wrong and they shouldn't be doing it. But of course, there's too much pushback right now on what's going on with all these surgery, with all these children trying to get their sexes changed. So the truth is this, you know, this is nuts. This whole thing is nuts. The guys want to have their private parts cut off and women want to have private parts installed and everybody wants to go on hormone replacement therapy. This is because of what we've done from a sociological standpoint. I've talked about it in depth. And because of what we've done from a chemical standpoint with all of this chemical castration that we've done with these little boys in utero with the introduction of the female hormone estrogen into the mother while that woman is pregnant with these little boys. So, yeah. So, there you go, Austin. So now the American College of Pediatricians has finally had enough of it, and they're coming out against it. And I'm sure they'll retract their statement within a couple of days.
Well, the thing that most people have to understand is, you know, when we talk about the basically castration in utero and the chemicals and causing this, yes, once the child comes out, especially males, and they have a very confused sense of who they are, that's something that they have to deal with. You know, I had an email the other day that somebody basically criticized me because they said I was too harsh or too angry against these individuals because they were trying to be let into the women's bathroom. And my response to that is this. Yes, I have sympathy and I offer help to individuals that are really like, I've been fed soy my whole life, I have extremely messed up hormones, I feel like I'm a girl, etc., and all that. But what I do not have sympathy for and what I do not apologize for, nor will I issue a retraction for, is these individuals that are so militant in their ideology and forcing people to be okay with the fact that, hey, it doesn't matter that I'm a male and I have male parts. I want you to be okay with me going in the women's bathroom because I feel like I'm a woman. You need to be okay with that and you need to accept it because that's what I want you to do. No, you're a very, very, very small portion of the population, and the population that actually has real, true, significant issues with gender confusion is even smaller. And what these people are doing is they're using these very few select individuals to try and push their transgender homosexual behavior and ideology on everybody else, making us feel like we're wrong if we don't want to have a male in the women's locker room with my sister or my wife. I'm supposed to feel guilty or bad about that, and you condemn me for saying I don't want that done. I don't ever want that done. I do not think it's appropriate at all. Then my next issue is that they've even said numerous times in these schools that the principals have allowed these men that have had confusion issues have take showers, to go change in the locker room, in their own personal bathrooms, their own private showers, because they said you obviously don't feel comfortable in the men's. It's against the right of the females, so we're going to give you your own private bathroom, which in my opinion is awesome. You get my own private bathroom. It doesn't get much better than that. They still are getting mad about that, and they decline to use it and say, that's not fair. You're basically segregating us out and not allowing us to use it. You know, the women's bathroom, we're madder about it now. Now we want to force you to allow us to use the women's bathroom because we feel like you're discriminating us. That is nonsense, guys. That is absolutely polluted ideology. It is not anything Christian-based, and there is no sympathy that should be given or asked for in that situation. If somebody has a serious problem with hormone imbalance from childhood, it needs to be addressed and it needs to be dealt with, and we need to try and help them out. But we should not sit there and sympathize with them when they try and force us to accept this weird, weird behavior of allowing males with full male parts to shower in women's locker rooms and go in their bathroom completely nude and expose females to that. It's unacceptable. It does not need to be okay in any shape, way, or form, and that's what I have to say about that, since it needs to be addressed.
Well, you know, awesome. I mean, I couldn't have said it any better than that. The reality is this. I feel bad for you if you've had a problem with hormonal imbalances and you feel like you're a girl and you're a guy.
Yes.
And I don't really have a problem with you getting your own bathroom. I really don't.
I don't either.
Because if you feel completely like, oh, my God, I really don't want to do this, if you feel really intimidated by it, whatever, who cares? I mean, if you want your own toilet, whatever, if you're using the toilet, who cares? But don't come in the bathroom with the daughter, my little 13-year-old, and drop your drawers and have your wanger hanging out and say, hey, look at this thing. I've got one you don't. I mean, don't do weird stuff like that, okay? Just don't do stuff like that. That's just so far into the point of perversion that you don't need to be doing stuff like that. I mean, don't do stuff like that. I mean, I know you may think it's okay, but nobody else does. I mean, you're a tiny percent of the population. Let me read you this. This is an interesting article. This is a lady who is a let me read it. This is from CNS News. It says, best-selling feminist author and social critic. Now, listen to this, what she says. Camelia Pagelau said in an interview last month that the rise of transgenderism in the United States is a symptom of decadence and cultural collapse. This is a feminist saying this. Nothing better defines the decadence of the West to the jihadists than our toleration of open homosexuality and this transgender mania now, Pegula said during an October 27th interview on the Brazilian television show. Pegula also said during the interview that transgender propagandists are overstating their cause. I think that the transgender propagandists make wildly inflated claims about the multiplicity of gender, she says. And, you know, and she goes on to it. She's really being a pretty, considering she's a feminist, she's actually making some sense. And she's saying, hey, you guys, back off this a bit. You guys are going kind of nuts. This is an article by Sam Dorman. And the thing about this is this. You know, I got it, okay? I'm probably your best advocate. I'm one of the only people out there that gets it who's on alternative talk radio. I know what happens with hormones when you're in utero. I know if you give a pregnant woman excessive amounts of estrogen, exogenous estrogen, what they call it, in utero while the baby's inside of her, that it feminizes the little boy, gives him very small genitalia, turns him from a left brain male to a right brain male, and it changes him. It gives him a different brain chemistry. Okay, I got that. I spent 400 hours in the biochemical genetics lab at Florida State. I get it, okay? That's why I'm very, very tolerant of this, Austin. I really am. I'm probably the most tolerant people I know about this because I'm a biochemist. To see, because I feel bad for them that this happened. They were chemically castrated in utero, and they didn't get anybody's permission to do it. It was done to them. Okay, so I understand that, but guys, look at it our way. I mean, it's just not our fault as a community in the aggregate that this happened to you because your mom did this either knowingly or unknowingly. We don't have anything to do with that. So it's just something you've got to deal with. And so I'm sorry this happened to you. I really am. Or if you want to do it naturally, you think this is the way you're supposed to be or whatever. You don't want me to be sorry for you. Okay, whatever. I don't care about that either. Just leave us out of your loop. When you want to use the bathroom with my little girls, you put me in your loop, okay? That's not okay with me. I mean, you know, I can do everything I possibly can from a hormonal standpoint to help encourage you to try to change some of this, but don't put the whole planet in your loop. We don't need all of this stuff. This cultural decline is what happened in Rome, and finally the Romans stopped raising little Romans, and the whole thing collapsed. Well, Rome was around for over 1,000 years. The United States has only been around for a couple hundred years, and we're already starting to suffer the same signs of cultural collapse. So, guys, please use some discernment with all of this stuff. And just realize that if somebody gives you your own bathroom, just say thank you. Kind of look at the, remember George on Seinfeld, Austin? He always wanted his own bathroom. And finally he started pretending like he was handicapped. Remember this? He went, yeah. I want my handicapped bathroom. I want a key to the handicapped bathroom. And then finally, you know, they find that he's not handicapped and they get all mad at him. He loses privileges to his own bathroom. If you actually have your own bathroom to use, wow, that's a pretty cool thing, because you don't have to worry about sitting in a bunch of other people's mess. So just be happy if you get that, and just leave us all out of the loop. What's your next story, Austin? We spent enough time on this nonsense.
No, I know. I just wanted to address that on here. It's interesting because so many people have gone out and, you know, they've been just insulting Donald Trump for the last couple months, calling him a racist, all this stuff for the things that he's brought up about immigration and everything else. And what's interesting is he even addressed Brussels back in January about how it had turned into basically a jihadist hellhole on what was going on, and how they were like the breeding grounds of Islamic terrorists over there. And they said there's something going on. You go to Brussels, you go to Paris, there's something going on. It's not good. They want Sharia law, and where they want this, things are not good. There has to be some assimilation, and there is none. Something bad is going on. You go to Brussels. I was in Brussels a long time ago, 20 years ago. So beautiful. Everything was awesome. It's like living in a hellhole right now. And then all of a sudden, 2.5 months later, we see this happen, this tragic terrorist activity again. And, you know, it was funny because in that one Republican debate a couple weekends ago, they tried to basically twist his words and set him up, and he really wouldn't fall into it. They said, you think, you know, Islam is a religion of hatred as far as you think they hate us. And he goes, yeah, a large percentage of them do. And that's why we need to properly vet them before we let them in this country. This is the perfect example of that. Now, I don't know if this is a false flag again. The problem is, with allowing these really, really radical Islams into Western civilization, not vetting them, not monitoring them, making sure that they have open access to importation of specific weapons and plastics and explosives from the Middle East, and you just kind of let them do their thing, you don't really have to set up false flags anymore. You kind of let them do it themselves, and they do their own little bombs like this in Brussels. This is what these people like to do. They're commanded in the Quran to kill anybody that's an infidel. That's just what it is. So I found it interesting that so many people criticized him for bringing this issue up and not allowing more Islamic Muslims in the United States, and now we see what's going on. And, you know, it's sad, but it was definitely foreseeable over in Europe, and if we're not careful, the exact same thing's going to happen in the United States.
I agree, Austin. Here's another interesting thing. This is something the Muslims did that they did right. Okay, now, I've got mixed emotions about it too, but because of what it is and what it was, I think it was okay they did this. Okay, they tore up some antiquities over there in Europe. I'm over there in the Middle East, and I'm just going to read you this real quick. This is interesting. Replica of the ancient Temple of Baal to be reconstructed in Times Square, New York, and London. Now, you heard me say that right. The Temple of Baal is to be reconstructed in Times Square, New York, and London. Baal is the god that required the human sacrifice of the children. And apparently, there was a huge temple to Baal that was close to Nineveh. And one of these antiquities. It was like a 2,000-year-old structure that the Islamic State destroyed last year in the Syrian town of Palomar. Now, if they're going to destroy any antiquities that are thousands of years old, the Temple of Baal will probably be a pretty good one to destroy. Okay, this is one of the antiquities demolished at Nineveh was an enormous figure of Lamusa, a winged bull. This is another genetic thing from the Nephilim, I'm sure. A winged bull with the torso of a man and the beard of a king. It was a protective deity that watched over the Nergal Gate, a major entrance into the city. The Lamusu was probably installed during the reign of King Sennacherib, who ruled from 705 to 681 BC. He was an expansionist leader under whom Nineveh became the capital of the Assyrian Empire. The muscular iconography of the Illumisa matched Sennacherib's imperial ambition. But before smashing the sculpture, Islamic State fighters chisel off the face with a pneumatic drill. Let me tell you how bad Nineveh was. This is an interesting story. This is back with with Jonah. Jonah was ordered to go preach at Nineveh. Nineveh was a bad place, and obviously there was the Temple of Baal that was there that's now gone. And like I said, I have such a problem with... I love antiquities, okay? I love that stuff. The Roman Colosseum, all of that stuff. But this was for Baal worship, and there's no telling how many children were sacrificed here. So if they're going to tear down an antiquity structure, might as well have been this one, okay? But what they had... When Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, he didn't want to go to Nineveh, because when you went in there and started preaching repentance to Nineveh, they would take you and hang you up, and they would fillet you alive and peel your skin off. This is true. So when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, he took off. He said, I don't think so. I don't want to deal with all of this stuff. And he took off. And he ended up, getting stuck in the belly of a whale, according to Scripture, brought back out there, spit back out, said, you're going to go to Nineveh. And, of course, God protected him. But that's why he didn't want to go. Nineveh was a super, super, super heathen place to go to that liked to fillet people. So, for Baal... A temple to Baal with all these sacrifices of children, as far as I'm concerned, good riddance to that temple. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. The problem is they tear up so much other stuff, too, while they're over there. But I do understand why they tore down the one Baal.
Well, but here's the thing. But they want to... Now they're rebuilding this temple in New York City and in London in Times Square. Okay, remember, this is what it all boils down to. It all boils down to controlling the energy field on the planet. And this is how they did it in the old days, after the pyramids were split apart with the meridians. See, the pyramids used to be huge energy fields. They used to put out all this energy. But when the earth split apart, all of the energy fields that were underneath them and the meridians that were underneath them were moved when the continental plate shift happened. So that the pyramids all got turned off after the flood. That's when all the stuff split. And what happens is that this is how what they did. They've been doing this with the energy fields, with the pyramids, and with this human sacrifice stuff now for thousands and thousands of years to basically control the reality that we live in. So this is for a temple to Baal to go away. I'm okay with it. What's your next story?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. It's funny you bring up the pyramids. I remember they found a while back ago. They found those big pyramids underwater, out off the coast of
There's a bunch of them out there, yeah.
Florida, off the island.
But remember, when the continental plate shifts happened, everything just got moved around.
Yeah, well, and then you see stuff like with Baal, and you see, a winged bull like this with, what you say, the beard of a king and all this other stuff. Remember, guys, this all comes back to the Nephilim and their pollution of the DNA on this planet and them trying to pervert everything. This is the same place where the dinosaurs came about from their pollution because they sinned against the animals and the reptiles. This is all this is about. So the fact of them tearing this down, I can't blame them at all on that. I don't support anything they do, really, but tearing down a Temple of Baal is pretty awesome. But again, you see they do this, and now New York Times Square wants to erect a temple to Baal in Times Square. I mean, so it's like they have to keep these certain ones open, I guess, to, I don't know, maybe to appease Satan? I mean, is that part of it, Dad? They want to try and keep these things open?
Well, no, it's part of the symbolism. See, they want to burn these symbolism things into your mind so you think about it all the time because it feeds these demons. And these demons basically are fed through the sacrifice of these children through abortion. That's all we're doing basically by these abortions is Baal worship. Yeah. That's all this is. I mean, we're murdering the innocents. That's what we're doing. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, you might as well call it out for what it is. Now they want the children to go to full term in England. We talked about this a few weeks ago so they can harvest their organs. Again, more Baal worship. It's all about maintaining the energy field, the attention field, whatever you want to call it, around the planet in the super negative state to control the holographic image that's being projected of the reality that we live in. And see, that's what's happening right now. Because of all the prayer that's going out for Donald Trump, we're physically changing the reality. These guys must be just going berserkoid trying to figure out what to do because they don't know what to do because Donald Trump is literally changing the attention field on the planet. And we have this huge wave of prayer now, which we could have always had, by the way, guys. We could have changed this anytime we wanted to if we would have just stayed in the unity of thought and in believing. But we didn't do that. We walked away from that in 323 AD with Constantine and his weirdos in the Roman church that took over the Christian church at that point in time. But let me read you some stuff real quick about this thing. More than 30 people are dead now, more than 200 wounded after explosions struck Brussels during the Tuesday morning rush hour, Belgian officials said. Two blasts at the international airport, another struck a metro station. Belgium has issued a level 4 alert denoting serious and imminent attacks they're preparing for. What we have feared, listen to what they said. What we have feared, they focused on this. This became a reality to them. What we have feared. Remember what the Bible says, what I feared has come upon me. You don't do that. You don't walk in fear, you walk in love. We were hit by blind attacks. No, they weren't. They knew this was coming. Prime Minister Charles Michel said at a midday news conference on Tuesday. At a later news conference, Michel said Belgium will defend its liberty and values. He stressed the importance of returning to normal life in Belgium as Brussels as fast as possible. Good luck with that. After the blast, Belgium federal police tweeted an image of a man who's suspected of being involved in the bombing. Wearing a jacket and a hat, the man is seen in the image taken by a surveillance camera. And of course, now ISIS is taking results for all of this. And so it's just, the whole thing is just kind of crazy what's happened over there. But what did they think was going to happen? You bring the enemy into the gate. You bring a different religion into the gate, because Germany and Belgium and Brussels, all of these countries have been secularized, especially in the bigger cities. In some of the smaller districts in Germany where they still have their churches and their cathedrals, they're still relatively Christian in certain areas, especially with the Christmas markets they have throughout Europe, especially in a lot of the smaller towns. But the vast majority of Europe is extremely secular. And the sad part about it is it took a long time to become this way. It's going to take a long time to turn it back around. We've got to have some revival in Europe to change this. You got any more stories, Oz?
No, you're completely accurate about that. I mean, the more that everybody prays, the more that everybody comes together in, you know, unison, that's why it's so important that everybody is on the same page when it comes to everything, not just, you know, politics, but the same thing as far as, you know, food, what kind of food you're eating. We see what's going on now in Vermont. We see how it's actually going to change a large portion of the country. I mean, General Mills is going to have to submit to this law now, and they're going to have to start labeling this stuff. If more and more states start enacting this that contain large manufacturers that really produce a large amount of food for all over the U.S. I mean, imagine if Coca-Cola had to start labeling that on everything. This contains GMO corn syrup. You know, just like the tobacco. You see people with cigarettes, chew, any of that stuff. It says on here, this product is addictive. This product can cause lung or mouth or throat cancer. You know, if that you started putting that on food, this contains GMO corn, has been directly linked to cancer tumors. You know, you start seeing stuff like that, it gets people's attention. And so for Vermont to do this now, this is a huge stepping stone for the non-GMO movement. And I'm praying, I'm supporting, and anybody else, you know, any other states, we're going to do the best we can to support them in this movement now. Because now that the DARC Act has been, you know, turned down from the Senate, all these states that want to start enacting this stuff will now be able to do so without having issues from the federal government interfering with their state laws, which we've already talked about that before. State laws should always supersede federal, but it seems to be the other way around lately. It just is what it is. But that's a huge aspect of everything, is making sure that we're all in agreement together, we're all in unison, we're all praying for the same thing. But guys, appreciate you. If you got any questions, go to healthmasters.com. You can email us there. If you need anything at all, just let us know. We'll be back on the show tomorrow from 3 to 4 as always. And we appreciate you. Anything else you want to add in, Deb?
Yes, remember, Thursday night, Friday morning, 1 to 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'll be on Coast to Coast for 2 full hours with George Dory. It'll be a great time. And also, I just spoke to Hagman, and they're going to bring me back on again this month for another interview. I'll give you the dates on that as soon as we get them. I love you guys, and I appreciate you listening. And thanks for being there for us. And we'll talk to you
tomorrow. You guys have a blessed night.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded.